right, go ahead, find your seat. Welcome back. I'm going to do my best to finish a little early this morning because I know you want to go out and eat. No, because I want to invite you to join me in the multi-purpose room after church is over this morning. We're going to send off Dave and Joanne. This is Dave's last official Sunday on staff. He and Joanne, if you remember a couple of months ago, he announced that they would be moving up to North Carolina. Dave's kind of retiring, and we're all going to miss you guys, really. Dave does a lot around here and has helped me out personally as well as the church and done so many things. So you will see Dave for a number of weeks, I'm sure, in 2025, but they have their own schedule, but we wanted to send him off in a way, so we've got some cake out there and some punch and drinks and all that. So if you got 5 minutes after the service, hang out there. There's a card there on the table with the cake. I want to encourage you to go out there and write him a nice note, draw him a smiley face, whatever you want to do, and send him some love on that card, and we'll have a good time. Just we'll spoil your lunch. You get to eat your dessert first, and then you can go off and have lunch later. But so I'm gonna do my best to finish a little earlier, and we'll have that. But we love you, brother Joanne, you as well, and appreciate everything. There you go. And I know the Lord's got something for you in your next chapter, and I know you're gonna enjoy getting there with your family, being close to family and all that. That's going to be good. So, but we'll miss you. All right, if you got your Bibles, we're in Acts chapter 2. That's a flashback. We're in Matthew chapter 2. Wow, okay. That's what happens when you preach through the book Acts. You just get used to saying that. But we're in Matthew chapter 2 this morning. This is our last sermon for the year, but it's our last sermon with the series of the Christmas movies renamed. We've been kind of having a little fun with that, and then we'd go and preach the Bible and forget about it. But the movie today, I don't know how many of you have seen How the Grinch Stole Christmas, either the original cartoon, you know, or the Jim Carrey version, whichever you prefer. They're both pretty good. But you know, the movie started from the Dr. Seuss book, right? How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the Who's and Whoville and all that. But so we're going to look at that this morning from the Bible's standpoint. But if you've never seen the Grinch That Stole Christmas, this movie about, it's a book inspired by Dr. Seuss' book. The Grinch just decides to steal Christmas, and he wants to, he despises Christmas, and he wants to do everything he can to stop Christmas from coming. So he devises the plan to dress up as Santa Claus, and he goes through Whoville and steals all the decorations, the presents, the food, the roast beef, all the food, all the trimmings, all that. And so he steals it, but we're gonna see today from Matthew chapter 2 that the Grinch is not the original Grinch. There is an original Grinch in the Christmas story, and we see it in Matthew chapter 2 here with King Herod. King Herod is the original Grinch, if you will. He tried to stop Christmas from coming before the Grinch ever did or was ever thought about. So we're going to look at that this morning here. This passage in Matthew chapter 2 is all about worship and seeking out a king to worship and to be devoted to this morning. So we're going to look at that. If you have your Bibles, if you're able to stand in honor of God's word, if you can stand, that's in honor of God's word. I'm going to start reading in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. The scripture says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We have saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the peoples, chief priests, teachers of the law, and he asked them, 'Where is the Christ to be born? "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, an incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country through another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, says, "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, when he stayed until the death of Herod. And so it was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what he had said through the what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Thank you. You can have a seat. Look at this passage this morning, and we'll kind of compare and contrast King Herod and his actions with the actions of the Magi here. I mentioned before that this passage is all about a devotion and seeking a king to worship. And I want to ask you this morning, I don't have a question to give you, but something for you and I to think and to ponder about this morning is, what do you and I really, truly worship? And I know the church answer is, Pastor John, we worship God. Is that really and truly who we worship? Or is that just something we say in lip service or to put on a face? But do you and I truly seek after the Lord as we should, to worship him as we should? Or is that just something that maybe we say, And so I want to get us to look at that this morning from the eyes of the Magi and from Herod's actions this morning. Just 4 points to share with you. There's an outline on the back of your bulletin. You can follow along there. The first point I want to share with you this morning is this, that Herod's refusal to recognize another king. Herod had a refusal to recognize another king here. Herod the Great, as he was known, was made king in 37 BC. He was made king by the Roman council, also the Senate, by Mark Antony and others that would support him. Herod was an Edomite. That means he was a descendant of Esau. So he was made king. Well, here in the scripture here, we see that there is a king who is not made king, church, but he was born king. Notice the distinction here. Jesus was born king. Herod was made a king. Two different types of kings here, two different origins, if you will. Herod was a long-standing king. Here he ruled a number of decades. The Jews liked him, but they tolerated him, really. He kind of endured favor from the Jews. But he was the king when Jesus was born. And when he got news of a newborn king, as you can imagine, that really bothered him. The scripture says that in verse 3, it says, "When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all of Jerusalem with them. That to me, in my mind, that's the equivalent of the statement, if you were a kid, you know this, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? All right, so because, you know, if the parents were upset, the kids were going to get it too, right? You know, if the kids had done something. So when King Herod is disturbed as the ruler of the king of Judah, everybody else is going to be in for it too, right? You know, we have to put up with that. So that's what we see here in the scripture here, that Herod's refusal to recognize another king besides himself. Herod was jealous. If you want to put it that way, he was filled with fear. Uh-oh, somebody's coming to take my place. And church, this is the first point that I want you to see this morning, is that when it comes to our lives, as Jesus being king of our life, we have to recognize that God is king of our lives. As many people today, they live and they say, you know what? I'm the king of my life. I decide what I want to do. I want to live and I make all my decisions. That's what many people, and that's how many people live and rule their own kingdoms, if you will, today. But church, the Bible calls us to recognize another king over us, over our own selves, right? It is God Almighty in our lives. Herod didn't want to recognize Jesus as king, but the Magi did. They sought him out. They traveled and went afar. They put in the effort to recognize and to seek after him as king. Herod didn't even want to leave his own palace. He sent other people to go search for this king, right? We'll get into that a little bit more here. You know, there's speculation about these Magi that came from the east. They probably came from the Persian Empire, that has connections. If you go all the way to the book back of to the book of Daniel, right? When Israel was in captivity in Babylon for 70 years, the Persian Empire came in there. Cyrus became king, but the Jews and their influence was there. Many people look back to their influence on the knowledge that they perhaps imparted in the Jewish scriptures about a soon coming king. And so these Magi, or sometimes they're called wise men, right? They studied and they knew that there was this newborn king that would be coming. And so they stayed attentive to look. And I thought it's interesting here. You see in the passage, you see two different areas of revelation here. You have creation and scripture. All right. The wise men, the Magi, studied, they looked at the stars. They use creation. It reminded me of Psalm 19, verse 1. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, right? Creation declares that, hey, where did all this come from? I thought about doing this morning. I thought about going out before the sermon this morning and grabbing a single blade of grass and holding it up in front of you. It's like, where did this grass come from? Well, it came from a seed, Pastor. No, I'm not talking about, but where did everything in creation, where did the mountains, the rivers, the oceans, where did all that come from? Did it just come from nothing? Or did it come from something? But the Bible tells us that creation proclaims the glory of God. We look around like, I'm just not, you know, what we say almost at the end of every service, I'm not an accident, right? God created me with a purpose. God created the world in which we live. It's not an accident either. It's on purpose. So the Magi look to creation, but also we see the scripture here. The Magi come to King Herod in Jerusalem. They're like, hey, where is he who's been born? We've followed his star and we've gotten close. They're about 6 miles away from Bethlehem. And this is the major city in Jerusalem. So, hey, King Herod, where's this newborn king? Is he in your palace? Is he one of the in your harem? You know, and so Herod goes back to what? He consults the scripture. He asks the Magi, he asks the teachers of the law, what does the scripture say? And so they go back to Micah 5:2, right? It says, O you Bethlehem, out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel, right? So both creation and scripture give testimony to God Almighty. And I think we need to remember that today as well. Church, if you and I want to worship God, truly worship him, it starts by recognizing the true rightful king, right? We can't worship ourselves and God at the same time. We can only worship one person at a time. And that should be, and that needs to be God. Well, what do we need to do? I want to take us back to, again, creation and scripture. If you and I want to know who the right God to worship is, we got to go back to scripture. We have to know God's word and what the Bible says about who God is. And we need to look around us at creation and say, wow, this God must be pretty powerful to create everything that he did by the word of his mouth, right? So it starts there. Worship starts with recognizing who the true king is. And for us to recognize, you know, there's a lot of people on social media today that say all sorts of things about Jesus and about Christianity, right? Oh, my goodness, it's getting worse. You know, if you're on Instagram or Facebook, you'll see people post all sorts of things about, well, Jesus would do this, and Jesus would, and I'm like, would he really? I'm like, are you sure about that? You know, a lot of times they will cherry pick scriptures in the Bible and totally ignore other scriptures in the Bible. That's one way to do it. Yes, what you said about Jesus is true, but you also completely ignored what Jesus said over here too, right? And so for us to know the real Jesus, the one that we ought to worship, we have to know God's word. And I want to challenge you as we get ready to step into 2025. I don't know if you've ever read the entire Bible, maybe cover to cover or, you know, at a time. Is that something that maybe you would consider doing this next year? If you read 3 chapters a day or like 3.5 chapters a day, you can read through the whole Bible in a year's time. That's still tough. That's still hard to do, but you can do it. And I want to challenge you that. You know, get to know God's word in a deeper level so that you and I can know who the real Jesus is that we ought to worship this morning. My final question to you this morning is this. Who are you worshiping? You know, I asked you that at the beginning of the sermon. Are we focusing on ourselves? Or do we bend the knee and worship God Almighty and say, no, I'm not king. God, you're king. You're king of my life. So that's the first thing. Secondly, I want you to see on the outline there, Herod's reaction to another king. Herod's reaction to another king. Herod begins a fact-finding mission here. He goes and he consults the scribes and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and he begins to find out, I really don't know, because he had no idea. And so he finds out, okay, it's in Bethlehem here. Look at verse 7 and 8 here. It says, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Uh-oh. We know the end of the story, right? That's lies. Herod is now, he's manipulating, he's deceiving these magi. He's trying to tell them, oh, my intentions are also to worship this newborn king too, but secretly we know what he's really about to do. But Herod, he goes on this fact. It's interesting here. The magi traveled probably hundreds of miles, yet Herod is not willing to even step out of his palace to look and to search for this newborn king himself. There's a distinction there. The Magi had honest devotion. They spent the time. They took effort to travel. You know, travel in biblical times, first century time, is not like it is today. We can't just hop on an airplane and be halfway around the world in you know, 12 or 25 hours or something like that. It took a long time. They didn't have trains or planes or automobiles. They had to travel by foot or by animal to get to the place we were going. They're the ones, the Magi were the ones that spent the effort, the energy to seek after this king. But Herod said, you know what, hey, just give me the information. And he lied and he was honest and deceiving about it, right? I saw this a lot during this past week during Christmas time. I've told you this before. I'm friends with several people who are not Christians, and probably many of you are too, right? I interact with atheists and other people, and we talk back and forth. And it was interesting to me that the week of Christmas, I see all these non-Christians and atheists who don't believe in God, and they're posting pictures around the Christmas tree, and they're celebrating Christmas, right? Well, we know they're not celebrating Jesus. They're celebrating the presents, or they're doing whatever they can, but they're kind of just giving it a basic kind of acknowledgement, right? Without really going deep into actually worshiping or celebrating Christmas, and that's one thing I saw. Many people do that today, just like King Herod. People talk a good game. I even saw some former friends of mine who were Christians, who I know are not Christians now, but they'll talk about Jesus. Maybe they're not an atheist, but they don't really care anything about the church or their relationship with God. But on Christmas Day, it's all about, hey, happy birthday, Jesus. That reminds me, it made me think a lot about this passage here with Herod. Herod gave lip service, right? He said, help me. When you find this baby, let me know so I can go worship him too. It was all lip service. But he had no intention to go worship this newborn king. We know what his intentions were. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But this made me think of a couple different passages in the scripture. John 4:24, Jesus said, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth, right? If you and I want to truly worship the Lord, I think those two words, in spirit and in truth, we have to worship God in truth, who he is, and we have to worship him in spirit. It's led from our hearts and not just lip service, so to speak. Another verse I want to share with you is Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. Jesus said this. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. He was referring to the Pharisees. Jesus could look right into the hearts of these religious leaders and these Pharisees, and he knew that they put on a good show. They talked a lot out in public, or they would go and pray in public for everybody to see them, but he knew in their hearts, they were empty. And so, church, I want to challenge you with that. Where are our hearts this morning? Again, I'm in church, Pastor John. I'm here. Are we here physically only? Where are our hearts this morning? Do we have a desire to really, truly worship the Lord with our truth and with our spirit this morning? Are our hearts in the right place? It's a good time. I know from time to time I get stuck in the motions or in the checking off the boxes sometimes. Sometimes I read my Bible because that's what I'm supposed to do, and I check off the box. I read my Bible today, right? But is my heart in it when I really do I want to just rush through it real quick so I can go do something else? Or do I want to take a time to slow down and dig into the Word of God? And so we can all be like that, And so I just want to encourage this morning, let's take some time to self-examine our hearts this morning. Are our hearts truly in it to worship the Lord this morning? Or are we just here in church to please a parent? Are we here in church to really just make everybody happy, or to please a spouse, whatever it might be? But I want to encourage this morning, if your heart is not truly here to worship the Lord, to seek after him like the wise men, the Magi were, pray about that. Say, God, help change my heart this morning so that I want to spend time with you. I want to worship you. I want to be here. I want to sing and praise you. I want to be in your word. That should be what our hearts desire. All right, third point I want to share with you this morning we see is Herod's response to another king. Finally, his true plan is revealed. Herod says he's here just to worship, he wants to worship this newborn king too, but we know better. We know the end of the story. Look at verse 13. Look at the last part of verse 13. Joseph is warned by an angel that Herod's out to get him. It says, the angel says, stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That's what we see here. Herod chose violence and a power trip. He said, you know what? There's only one king, and it's not this newborn king. It's me, King Herod. I want to reign and hold power as long as I can. I could say a bunch of stuff about politics right now, but I'm not going to, right? I wish we had term limits on everybody. But anyway, never mind. Okay. All right. But Herod was on a power trip. He wanted to hold power and to remain king. That's the trick, church. That's the decision for all of us. When we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, right? He's our Savior, but that lordship, that's the harder part of Jesus there. We have to continually, daily, every week, every day, turn over our life to the Lord and say, God, you're Lord, you're boss, right? Herod didn't want anything to do with that. He chose to be the one in charge here. And in contrast, the Magi were the ones that came to give him what? Gifts, right? Here's another thing about the Magi. There's a lot of myths, right? You know, the people think, well, there were three Magi. We don't know how many Magi there were. It just says that there were three gifts, gold, incense, and myrrh. So we always see the three Magi. But looking down here, but we just know there were three gifts that were given. These gifts were not cheap gifts. Gold, that was the monetary unit, the value of the day, right? The incense, the frankincense, the myrrh, these spices that were given to Mary and Joseph to give to Jesus were not just dollar store purchases, all right? They were very valuable gifts. These Magi did the exact opposite of what King Herod. They came, they made the search, and they gave him very valuable gifts from their own collection or their own personal possessions, right? So, and that asks us this morning, church, what are we willing to give to the Lord? Do we give Jesus just the, well, Jesus, I'll swing by Walmart and I'll give you the $1.99, whatever. Or do we give Jesus our best? Do we devote service to the Lord? And are we willing to go the extra mile, if you will, right? To say, God, you're king. You deserve it all. So I'm going to give you my best. I think sometimes we're tempted to shortchange what we give. We, especially in the American culture in which we live, we love our schedules. Well, I have this and this and this and this, and I'll fit God in here in this hour. And, you know, okay. But it's sometimes by doing that, we don't allow God to work in the other areas of our life by trying to, quote, schedule God in our lives. God deserves more than just an hour here, an hour there. God deserves every part of our life, every hour, every second of our day. Now, we have things we have to do, right? I understand that. We work, we have responsibilities, but God deserves so much more than just 1 hour, hour and a half on Sundays, 5 minutes of prayer time every day. There's so much more we could give. And so just think about this contrast between Herod and the Magi here, just willing what they're willing to give. True worship leaves only room for one king. Jesus himself said, you cannot serve both God and money, right? We have to choose. We have to decide. The postures of worship is to get down on your knees, right? When you're down on your knees worshiping God, guess what? You can't worship yourself. That says, I'm yielding to you, right? You know, when you think about people that come before dignitaries and they bow, you know, right? They're saying, oh, we're giving honor to you. That's a one-way honor, right? It doesn't work that way, church. We can't honor ourselves and focus on ourselves and still at the same time trying to honor God. It's a split decision. I don't know who said this, but it's just always something that stuck with me about faith. And it's like, okay, it's an either-or situation, all right? Either the Word of God determines how you see the world, or the world determines how you see the Word of God, right? All right. Something is going to take top priority, right? You know, people, we have people in our lives, I have people in my family who do not view this Bible as inerrant and from God, right? Why do they do that? Well, because they have taken the word of the world that this book is old or this book is not up to date. And so they've made a decision, right? We too, church, have to make the same decision. What is going to take top priority in our life? Is it the Word of God? Is it our faith? Or are we going to let the world dictate our faith or how we see the Word of God? We all have to come to that conclusion there. King Herod made his decision. He said, I'm the top dog. I decide I'm the king. I'm not allowing any other new king to come in here. You know, there are things, and again, this is not, I don't think anybody here thinks about worshiping themselves, right? Nobody here, we're not that type of people. But do we unintentionally idolize something to the point where we put it over our relationship with God? Do we, you know, for example, I thought about a couple things. Is it a person that we put before the Lord? Maybe we're so in love with a spouse or a boyfriend or girlfriend or something that we let them rule our lives. Is it some kind of relationship like that? Is it the American dream, so to speak, to grow up, have a job, a wife, 2.5 kids, a dog or a cat and a goldfish or what, you know, to have this type of house or whatever? Is that American dream something that we've idolized and put over our relationship with God? Is it a political party? Do we just go all in and get all wound up during the election season? And you know, there's also, is it a cause or an agenda? We have something that we just, man, we're going to fight for this and put all our marbles and all our money and all our time into a specific agenda that we believe is a good thing, but that takes place over our relationship with God. I went to a movie recently and walked out and was talking about, and I was like, what do you think about me? And the person brought up an issue of racism. And I was like, that's interesting. I didn't even see racism at all in that movie. And I think it's what the person may have been kind of thought about. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I thought about it some more. Is that really, you know? But, you know, that could be something. Do we colorize everything that we see in our life by a particular agenda or something, right? And so it's just something to think about for all of us. What gets priority in our lives? There can only be number one. Well, there can only be one number one, right? Something's got to take high priority there. I want to encourage you this morning to put Christ in that number one position if he's not. And then finally, last point we'll share with you this morning is that Herod's results about his rejection of another king. We see the results that happened here from Herod's refusal to recognize another king besides himself. And here's the point I want to make with the last point, church, is simply this. If you don't get anything else, remember this right here. Sometimes, church, our refusal to worship God for who he is and to be obedient to him, our sin, it affects other people. We might not think that, but it does. Our selfishness, our ambition for ourselves can hurt other people. Our sin can affect other people here. We need to see this here. Look at verse 16 here. It says, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. From what I've read about the size of Bethlehem and the size of the town and the number of people there, most biblical scholars suggest this could have been anywhere from about 24 children that were killed. You say, well, that's not a lot. No, that's a lot. One child's enough. That's a lot of people that were affected because of Herod's anger and his desire to stomp out any other possible king besides himself. Sometimes our sinful choices bring pain and suffering into other people's lives. And so, again, church, I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. We've got kind of a small group here, but you guys are the core group. But let's remember, you know, whether we're the ones doing it or sometimes it happens to us. We are all affected by the sin of other people's choices. And whether that is in a small way or a big way, it doesn't matter. We see that the destruction that comes from sinful choices here. We have to remember that it's important who we worship. It's important who other people give homage to. And so this morning, as we get ready to come to a close this morning, you know, again, going back to this idea, who are we worshiping? Who are we devoting ourselves to? You may be here today, hey, I'm sold out for Jesus. Amen. But remember, other people around us are not. And the lives that they live, some of the choices they make, that might spill over into our lives as well, right? Other people around us, our family, our neighbors, coworkers, some of their choices, as wrong as they might be, they may affect us in some way or fashion. But I want you to end on this thought here, though. It doesn't matter what other people do, God still is sovereign. He will get his purposes accomplished. You know, just like we see here in the text, even though Herod tried to stomp out this newborn king, Jesus, because of Joseph's obedience to take the child and immediately leave and go to Egypt, his God's son was saved and protected. His plan was still accomplished. Herod couldn't stop it. And I just want to be a reminder for some of you, maybe you've felt the sin of other people in your lives. You've had to deal with the problems and maybe alcohol and drugs, and you've had to deal with bad financial decisions of family members that are, you know, costing you money or whatever it might be. God's plan can still be accomplished even despite that in your life. And I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, God is sovereign. He will accomplish what he wants to accomplish there. So as I close out this morning, I just want to ask you again, is there anybody here that perhaps you're here this morning and the number one king in your life is yourself? You're the boss. You're the king of your own kingdom. You're here because ain't nobody going to tell you what to do or how to live your life. Are you here today and you've never bent the knee and you've never recognized the Lord Jesus Christ as king of your life? I want to plead with you this morning. Come to Jesus today. The last Sunday of 2024, what a great time. There's no better time than the present. There's no better time to come to Jesus than right now. If you're here this morning, you're watching online, you're here in our sanctuary this morning, and you've never trusted Christ personally, I want to plead with you, settle that issue today. Yield and say, okay, I'm not in charge anymore, God. You are. You're king of my life. I want you into my life. I want you to be my Savior, my Lord. If you're ready to do that, I want to help you with that this morning. I want you to know, these four things. You're not an accident. God didn't create you for just to be here. God has a purpose for your life. The Bible says that he created us to walk in a relationship with him. But we are separated from God. We are apart from God. The Bible says that our sins separate us from God. The Bible says that we all are sinners and we all fall short. But God knew that, and he prepared a plan of salvation, and he sent Jesus. God approached us, if you will, through Jesus Christ. God knew that we were powerless. We could not do anything about our sins. So God sent his son to die on the cross, what we celebrate at Christmas time, the birth of his plan, right? And I love Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. He willingly gave up his life to pay for your sins and my sins. And the best news is that we can accept Jesus by faith. The Bible says it's not by doing good deeds or good works or coming to church or putting money in the offering plate or helping old ladies across the street. Only by faith can we receive God's gift of eternal life. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved by faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. If you understand that, if you're ready to trust Christ this morning, let me help you with that. I'm going to just ask everybody to bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you want to ask Christ to come into your life, to be your Lord, to be your Savior, you can say a simple prayer. And if you'll mean it with all your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ will come into your life and he will begin a new work in your life and he will be king of your life. And if that's you this morning, let me say a prayer and just say a couple of words at a time and you can repeat that. And if you mean that with your whole heart, you can begin a relationship with Christ. If you want Christ to come into your life today, say a prayer to God like this. Say, dear God, I know that you love me. God, I also know that I'm a sinner. Today, God, I'm coming to you. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus died, and he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. Help me to walk with you. Help me to trust you by faith. Help me to turn my life over to you. Come into my life. Give me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing one song here in just a minute, our invitation song. And if the Lord is speaking to you and you begin a relationship with Christ and you ask Christ to come into your life this morning, or maybe it was a month ago, would you come down, just, hey, shake my hand. Hey, Pastor John, I prayed that prayer. Now what? I just want to help you. Just want to help you in your new relationship with the Lord. We'll give you some steps that you can take to grow in your relationship. Christians, others, you've already made that decision. You've already trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. Is there anything in your life that you need to make right today? Maybe there's been a tendency to take back the throne in your life or my life to want to be in charge. Is it time to turn the throne back over to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, you're in charge of my life, not me. Is there anything that we need to change in our life? So let's stand and let's pray, and then we'll sing our last song here. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that as we come to this time of thought and contemplation, Lord, may you speak to our hearts this morning. If we need to change something, Lord, I pray that we'll do it. We won't just make something up in our head and say, okay, I'm going to change. But Lord, help us be specific. Help us to set a goal or set something that we can tangibly do, something practical that we can accomplish. Lord, if we need to step forward this morning, may you give us the courage to step forward and to trust you by faith, Lord. Thank you for everyone that's here this morning. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
commands all the host of heaven. Who else could make every king bow down? Who else could whisper and darkness tremble? Only a holy God. Who else could weary demand such praises? What other splendor outshines the sun? What other majesty rules with justice? And only a holy God. Come and behold him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship a holy God. What other glory consumes like fire? What other power can raise the dead? What other name remains undefeated? And only a holy God. Come and behold him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship a holy God. Come and behold him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship a holy God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are a holy God. You are worth our worship, Lord. Lord, I pray that whatever we've heard today, whatever your word has revealed in our hearts, that we will make those changes according to your word, not according to what Pastor John said or what our Bible study teacher said, but what your word teaches us, God. Lord, thank you for this time. We can dwell on your word. We can look at the topic of worship, Lord. May we look at worship as we worship you this week, perhaps in a new way that we've never looked at before, Lord. Help us to draw close to you, to seek you, to give you every gift that we have, that you have given us with, Lord. May we honor you and worship you with how you have gifted us. Lord, thank you for this time. As we come and we give our offering, and Lord, we give our tithes to you. Thank you for providing for our church, looking after us for many, many years past, and as well as this year too, Lord. Take the gifts today, give them, use them for your kingdom. Bless and multiply it as you did the fish and the loaves. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.